unending love, amazing grace, amazing. So Lord, now just as Brian comes to bring us your word, we just ask that you will pour out your Holy Spirit on him, that his words are your words. Lord, give us open ears, open hearts, open minds, and speak to us, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This is homework for everybody afterwards. I'm just saying, be prepared. We were talking about Christmas presents, and you know, our Charlotte always buys me lots of things. Well, this year I bought her phone off her because she was upgrading to iPhone something. And it had the back of it is one of these ones you can get by them with scriptures in. So of course I've got two more, so I've got a selection of three whenever I wish to change the back of my phone. This one says, I'm going to use this all the time, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, it's Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Thank you, Sean. Good. Can you hear me all right? Here we are again, the end of another year, 2024. It has flown by for many of us. And it just so happens that this time last year, you may remember, it was me speaking at the end of the year. You may remember I asked you all to stand up. And I read out the full armour of God from Ephesians 6 over our lives. I think it stood in good stead. Many ways we have continued to stand against the enemy of our God. Our prayer chain is a wonderful way that we defeat the devil's purposes. Thinking and praying for each other is a fine way to defeat our enemy. Also, we've continued to meet together, praising and worshipping our God, learning more of what God wants from us as a church. And obviously, from what Ruth, we're going to have to learn more in the coming year, 2025. But we are Mass Community Church. We can say that. That's who we are. We are that. We are growing as a people of God's choosing, not ours. And we shouldn't forget all his blessings to us. Yes, there have been hardships. We've had to bear the ups and downs of a typical year. It's good. It's worth remembering that we live in a fallen world. Sin waits at the door, eager to trap us up and bring us down. So let's kick that one out of the door. I had thought to repeat my last year's address. I mean, who can remember it? Well, the Holy Spirit can. And he kept reminding me and telling me I wasn't going to get away with it. Because he kept giving me, for at least the month of December, those two words, truth and grace. That's all I got, wherever I was thinking or looking or reading, listening or hearing other people. That's what I've heard all the time, truth and grace spoken out. How many times have we sung Joy to the World? How many times have we sung that? The third verse says, he rules the world with truth and grace. Unfortunately, we don't. We don't rule the world with truth and grace. We live out our lives not surrounded with truth and grace. We look at our world and what do we see? The planet is covered in lies, deceptions, falsehoods. Every kind of wickedness that we can imagine. That's what's in our world. I mean, I know that's all good as well, but that's what's having its way in our world. So where do we find this grace and truth? Truth and grace. They should always go together. When they do, we discover what love is, what it means, agape love. Love in action, to follow on from what Gavin was talking the first week of Advent about love. Love in action is the fruit of grace and truth. Only one person in the whole history of mankind that we know has been able to show it for 100% of his lifetime. Even at his cruel death, he kept on showing love through truth and grace. John 19, verse 26. He looked down and said, "Dear woman," to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And then he looked down to John and went, "Here is your mother." This is our Lord Jesus Christ. What love. That even at his most vulnerable, naked, beaten to a pulp, at the end of his life, and so the people thought, in excruciating pain, worse than even childbirth, sorry ladies, but it must be on an indescribable pain to feel your lungs filling up with water and blood, unless you carry out another kind of pain, which is to push your whole body on a couple of nails that you're pinned to a cross. The pain I can't imagine what that pain is like. And yet in all of that, Jesus spoke truth with grace. We find truth and grace in love. We know that Jesus is selfless. He's only thinking of others. But what is truth and grace to us? Can we live out our lives this way? No wonder Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to help us. But even so, what do they mean, this truth and grace, to us? Here's a quote I found. "Truth without grace is judgment, and it can kill someone's spirit." Jesus never used one without the other. When he spoke to the Samaritan woman in John 4, he asked her to fetch her husband, knowing that she'd had five. Can you say that? Had? Probably not. Anyway, I'm not too bothered. Jesus used grace in talking to this woman and asking her for a drink, a Samaritan. And he spoke again to another woman with the same truth and grace in John 8, that woman caught in adultery. "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." That's grace and truth working together. The grace part is "neither do I." Jesus, if you remember, and we know, is the only one who could ever have judged it properly. He was the only one who had the authority. The truth part. "Go and sin no more." So one doesn't come without the other. We've got to apply the two together. Truth and grace. Grace and truth. If you take them separately, I found this with, I don't know where we were talking, I started seeing this AI overview. I think it was with Ruth at a meeting. It appears on your computer. Artificial intelligence overview. Apparently, Ruth did. You can click into it, what you're thinking and what you're writing. You can click on it and artificial intelligence will tell you what the sentence is. So here's a sentence, what truth is in the artificial intelligence. "Truth is the quality of being in agreement with fact or reality." Really? Truth is the quality of being in agreement with fact or reality. Whose real world are they talking about? The biblical truth is described by them. "Truth is revealed in the Bible as the character of Christ, his teachings and his promises. Anything that does not agree with the Bible is false, error, deception or heresy." I prefer that version, but it's a bit strong. needs grace to go with it, don't you think? If it's to stand up to where the Word of God lives in our hearts today, how Jesus showed it. John 1:17. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The following is what the Word of God says when we only use truth without grace. Matthew 7:1-5. Do not judge others. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own eye? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eyes. Truth without grace, perhaps. So we'd better get on and add grace to the truth, don't you think? Here's what I found again about grace. Not a lot of definitions about grace other than biblical ones. Grace is defined as a quality of moving in a smooth, relaxed and attractive way. For example, Joanna has a natural grace and elegance. Grace as a noun is described as approval or kindness that is freely given by God to all humans. For example, by divine grace, Betty believed that it was through grace that her husband had recovered from his illness by the grace of God. So that's a couple of things that I found about grace. But to fully understand grace, we may need to think about who we are in Christ, and more importantly, who we were before Christ came into our lives. These are all from Scripture. I've not written the Scriptures, but you find them in Scriptures. We were born in sin. We were guilty of breaking God's laws. We were enemies of God. We deserved death. We were unrighteous, spiritually destitute, blind, unclean, and dead. Our souls were in danger of everlasting punishment. But then came grace. God's unmerited favour to us, his children. Grace saved us. It's the essence of the gospel. We have victory over sin and death, thanks to grace. Paul said, Paul saw grace as the basis of calling him to be an apostle of Christ. Jesus is grace in a nutshell. When grace and truth are together, we get the fullness of him, our Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The Bible calls grace a gift, freely given. A gift, not taken back. Nothing owed for it. It is free to everyone. The huge cost of salvation for all mankind, includes me and you, was paid for by one person we know, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, through his grace. So in conclusion, John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We need to be people that are full of grace and truth, sharing the grace in love wherever we can, doing whatever we can, believing that people can change for the better. We did. Which reminded me that last week in the sharing time, I spoke about Vicky being in hospital and how rude the night nurse had been to her. And John must have said something to me afterwards, and I just pinged in my head. And I spoke the truth. But there was no grace to it, about that night nurse. There was no grace about what kind of a night he was having. Who knows? He could have had 5 or 6 people dying on him for all that I know. We've no idea. I just remembered that as something I'd said to the church last week. It was true, but did it have the grace to go with it? So if we only share the truth, we will crush people with our judgmental attitude, and they may keep away from us as much as they can. So let's be gracious to them. The danger is, however, if we only show grace. Much of the left of life is showing grace, aren't we? Being benevolent to everybody and everything. If we allow people to remain in their own indifference, in their own way of life, knowing that there's a better way, we're just showing them grace, aren't we? We're just being kind to them. Oh, bless you. Oh, God bless you. And not being truthful to them. They will not see the need to change their ways of love, or have need of a saviour. That's grace without truth. So let's share the truth of the gospel. Here's a little analogy I found. Birds need 2 wings to fly. With only 1 wing, they're grounded. The gospel flies with the wings of grace and truth. Not 1, but both. I'm going to finish with a little bit of Word of God before we sing our final hymn. Titus 2, verses 11 to 14. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age. The grace of God allows that. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. We are that people. We should be eager to do what is good in 2025 and to carry it through with truth and grace. And perhaps, who knows, how we'll change in the year to come. God knows. Amen. We're going to finish with a hymn.